You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey guys, before we get started, big thanks to Audible for supporting The Instance. For a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/wow. All right, you guys, real quick, just a PSA. Today's episode of The Instance is a little bit different, okay? Sometimes we do lore episodes and we kind of warn you about that. Sometimes we focus on, like Patrick and I talking about competitive play, and we warned you about that. So if you came here today hoping for just nothing but patch notes from WoW, you're not going to get it. What you are going to get instead is a spotlight on Hearthstone, its current state, its future, and what we think of everything that's going on right now with me and Dills. That's right, giving Hearthstone a little piece of the stage for 1 week. The two Europeans are traveling, so we thought we'd do this together. So enjoy it. And if you don't like Hearthstone at all and you don't want to talk about it at all, well, you may want to skip this one. But otherwise, if you're interested in this or Blizzard as a whole, I think you'll get a lot out of it. So check it out. Big thanks to everybody for listening. We'll see you on the other side. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of The Instance. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Willie Dills Gregory. Hello, Dills.
Hello, Scott.
How's it going, man?
That was a nice little loungy kickback intro there.
Yeah, it's super chill, isn't it? Listen, it's kind of a weird arrangement. I feel like this is not in the game in this form.
I don't think that's the exact version, but it's pretty close. I will say this. That music in Hearthstone hasn't changed in 3 years.
Yeah.
And it is one of the only games where I can have the music on and never get tired of it. Like, I'm just kind of okay with it all the time.
Yeah, it's, I think Blizzard, generally speaking, is really good at that. But I think their Hearthstone's theme is especially listenable.
When I stream, I have my Spotify going. Sure. I got my punk rock playlist happening.
Yeah.
We're listening to all sorts. I got, at this point, the playlist has grown.
Yeah.
It's like 30 hours of music or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm used to listening to that stuff, but then every time I turn on my iPad and I just have the music on there, I just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's crazy for like us to listen to the same song for 3 years over and over
again.
It's
a nice warm blanket of music. You just can let it wash over you. I got all those string instruments in there. It's nice.
It's just soothing. Yeah.
Well done, Blizzard. Well done. Speaking of which, Russell will be on soon.
I'm going to say Russell, yeah. Well done, Russell. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
good job, Russell. Exactly. I mean, it probably wasn't him, but he oversaw this.
He had stuff to do with it.
Yeah. He tells people what to do and how to do it, and they do it. I just spoke to him by text yesterday. We're trying to get him back on. We haven't had a kind of a music update from him in a while, so that'll come soon. But today, none of that. Today, the two Europeans are gone. One's on vacation. One's on a plane on his way to GDC in San Francisco. And because of that, we thought, Dills had this great idea. He says, why don't we, let's throw a little light on what's going on in Hearthstone. Because it turns out there's a lot. And even though you've got a whole other show dedicated to this.
Sure.
This is a chance for us to look at it from a more broad Blizzard point of view.
Yeah, and, we won't talk about it as in, like, here's the latest news. We'll just kind of talk about, I think, just conceptually, card games in general. And I'm also curious to talk to you about it because, well, I don't know how much people know about it, but aren't you, like, working on a card game too, or
so there's been
card game aspirations of some sort?
Yeah, there's been I've been at it for, I think the idea came up in late 2014, I've been at it for a while, but work continues ongoing toward an actual physical card game that is not it's more of a deck builder, less of a CCG.
More of like draw a card and then try to make it work with the other cards.
Correct.
Thing.
Yeah. Okay. Or the deck you get is the one you draw from your deck to start with, but everyone has the same options. It's not like you found some legendary a week ago that's going to give you an advantage in the way you build your deck or whatever.
Sure.
And it isn't really based on even these same mechanics, but it is, challenging, and I have some really smart gameplay people involved, and the art's really cool. Like, it's looking really good, but it has brought up all kinds of questions in my head about the very nature of a card game and why,
yeah,
why we're seeing kind of a resurgence, not just in video games, but certainly on the tabletop.
Well,
these days.
I'll say this. You know, when World of Warcraft came out, there were suddenly more MMOs.
Yeah.
You know? And I think Hearthstone has done a very similar thing to the card game, at least the digital card game industry. Obviously, Magic's been around for 20 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is like the quintessential card game. We've had, you know, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, all these other kind of games that people have played over years. Mm-hmm. But once Hearthstone kind of hit, everybody kind of saw, oh, a digital card game can really work. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe for a long time, people didn't assume that a digital card game would be as good, because without physical cards and the ability to like own them, trade them, sell them, you know, people who have a big box of Magic cards will know that, you know, at some point you're like, ah, I got to get rid of these. Right. And then you can actually get some money back. But what do you do with a digital card game? Right. Like, you never get your money back.
You don't.
And Hearthstone, that's it. It's in there.
Yeah.
They have your money. You have the pixels, and that's it, right?
That's a good point. Plus plus the way that they did things when they launched Hearthstone, they did like they did with WoW. There's a lot of similarities. One of them is that they established a new model, both in, I think, how it would make money, but also what platforms it would be on, and also what kind of game it would be. And what we've seen since then, for the good or ill, probably the ill in the long run, is similar to what we saw after WoW, and that is a lot of games coming out and still in the works that are still coming out that are based a lot on Hearthstone. Like, they've taken Hearthstone's structure and just kind of reskinned it in a lot of ways, and WoW experienced that same thing, to what I believe to be the detriment of the MMOs that came later. They just didn't come with their own fresh ideas. Instead, they used Warcraft as a template, in the way that you might use Halo or Call of Duty as a shooter template, and they base their game on that. And I don't think that's necessarily good for them in the long run. Maybe in the short term, it grabs people's attention because they're like, oh, I played Hearthstone, so this is like that. Okay, cool, I'll get in. But then none of them have really that same... Even Magic doesn't have its own digital personality in the or footprint in the way that the Hearthstone seems to.
Well, the Magic Online client is just known for being terrible, right? And you even got you've got guys like Brian Kibler, who's, you know, a Magic Hall of Famer, who's playing a lot of Hearthstone now and basically making his living as a Hearthstone streamer.
Yeah.
Who said, you know, I would play Magic Online if the client wasn't so terrible, right?
Right.
And so what Hearthstone really did right in the first place was make an online card game that's just kind of enjoyable to look at, and it feels kind of like there's texture to it, right? You actually feel like you're dragging a card. It's hovering. You slam it down. You get a reaction. Like, it hits the board. Things happen, right? It feels like there's texture. It feels like you're actually, you know, you got a tactile experience, right?
Right.
And that's one of the things Hearthstone did really, really well. And then, of course, like, getting rid of the phases in the way that Magic had them. Where in Magic, if you play it online, you're constantly hitting... like the F4 button or whatever to say, okay, yes, that's fine. That resolves. That also resolves, because you can respond to everything.
Right.
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 Like, if you know, people who don't play Magic, you may not know, but like in Magic, I could leave mana up on your turn, and then you play a card, and I say, oh, hold on. In response to you doing that, I shall do this, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be a jerk and interrupt it, right, or whatever, and I'm going to counter that.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's a thing that exists in Magic, and it does add a lot of depth to the gameplay, but it takes away from the experience in a lot of ways when you're playing online, where you're constantly having to, like, be on top of hitting this, you know, space bar or whatever it is to say, okay, and... So there's not this kind of smooth feeling while you're playing.
Right.
And Hearthstone has that smooth feeling where it's like, all right, it's my turn. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Okay, it's your turn. I'm going to chill, right? And that's what Hearthstone has done really, really well.
Yeah.
There are a lot of games now, and I'm playing kind of all of these card games at this point because Hearthstone is, and the Angry Chicken has become such a big part of my life.
Right.
I've moved on to start playing all these other games, and a lot of them are now kind of taking that the tactile feel and the smoothness of Hearthstone and adding in some of the elements of Magic back, right? Mm-hmm. So the new game Eternal is very much Magic based in its combat and a lot of what the cards do, but it has that feel of just drag and drop, and it's very nice and smooth.
Yeah.
So there is kind of a combination happening now with a lot of games. And then of course there's like Gwent, mm-hmm. which is coming out soon.
Yeah, I've been playing the closed beta of that, and I really quite like Gwent. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I've heard it. I haven't played it at all actually, and I really need to get on it. But I've heard it's its own thing completely. Mm-hmm. Like it is one of the games that actually has found kind of an original place, and of course it's also based on, a side game or whatever. Yeah, right?
The Witcher universe, yeah. And it was a game you could play within The Witcher, and now it's its own thing. And you're right about it being. It feels like they actually came to the table and said, "Yeah, we got this other idea. It's not sure. Hearthstone Jr. It's something else," and which I think I respect. I like that.
Yeah,
about it.
And then you've got games like Hex, which I don't know if you've ever messed with Hex before.
Yeah, a little bit.
But Hex was literally sued by Magic
because
they basically lifted Magic and then made a better client, right? Which is and they did actually change quite a few things after the lawsuit, and the game is better for it. I think it uses a different kind of mana system. Like it's the same mana system, but then as far as playing cards, what they use is something called thresholds, where like in Magic, let's say I have five mana, five land, and three of them are green land and two of them are white, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I have a card that requires one green and one white, and I play that card, I now have one less green and one less white mana, right? Mm. And what Hex has done is instead of having that, they just say you have three green threshold and two white threshold. If you play a card, it just costs two mana. Mm. It doesn't cost one green, one white.
Mm.
It's just you had to have at least one green and one white to play this card.
Oh, I see.
But you don't like use up green and white.
Yeah, that is an interesting distinction. We had Corey Jones on the show once. He at Cryptozoic, founder of Cryptozoic, and he's talked at length about Hex, and it does seem like they kind of achieved their goal in their original Kickstarter for that game, which was we're aiming to be a basically an MMO CCG is what they were shooting for.
So yeah, they still have this kind of aim. It has a really cool campaign.
Yeah,
you can actually play. And if anybody's never played it, you can play free to play and just play through this campaign and you travel around this little world and then you challenge different bosses and there's different mechanics in these boss fights and you earn cards and you never have to pay a dime to play this. Yeah. And it's really fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've got that kind of stuff going too, but its systems are essentially the same as Magic, right? The combat works the same way.
Yeah.
And a lot of the cards use basically the same keywords, just a different version of them, right? So, yeah.
And that lawsuit's settled now, right? They're out of that.
Yeah. I mean, they made a lot of changes. They made a lot of changes to the game. So,
yeah.
And I think, Magic Online, that Magic has recently also tried to improve on this too, where they've got their duels, right? Yeah. Magic Duels, which is like their iPad game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually using like current sets now. And that is a much better system than the Magic Gathering Online client. Which I've also played as well. And I really like Magic. So I was like, hey, here's a chance to play it online.
Yeah.
But the client is just so terrible and bad. And it's really old. And it just needs an update. It needs a facelift.
So what you've described, and I feel like this is something you could say about almost all of Blizzard's efforts. Once again, just from a retrospective viewpoint, they took something that already existed and they refined it, polished it, tweaked it, and gave it what you described as texture, which I totally agree with that description. And made it something that the masses could play on all sorts of platforms and play easily and simply without having to buy new rigs. And all the things that players are looking for in playing something, they seem to deliver that. And that's the difference, I think. The difference is it's good.
I think so.
It's good gameplay, obviously. It's great gameplay. Fundamentally, it's an incredible game. But they have all that other stuff taken care of as well, which means the full package just feels right. Seems right, sounds right, is right.
And I think, and I want to say this because I hear from a lot of people who, there's people who talk about World of Warcraft, right? And look, we're a World of Warcraft show.
Yep.
So these are probably not necessarily our audience, because the people listening to this show are probably more apt to enjoy World of Warcraft. But there are people who are, you know, who maybe played EverQuest, right? Or EverQuest 2, or I don't know, Heroes of New Earth, or whatever, right? Like, not Heroes of New Earth. What's the other one?
Oh,
I'm thinking of the other, like the older MMOs that are more grindy.
Dark Age of Camelot. MMO. There's one for you.
What's that? Which one?
Dark Age of Camelot was a big
one. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. They play some of these other MMOs and they go, World of Warcraft is for noobs, right? Like that is like the easy peasy, you know, rating is simple, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You guys are lame for liking it. There are people who have that same attitude towards Hearthstone because they like magic or they like whatever, right? Mm-hmm. They think that Hearthstone is like the kiddie game, right? This is the game for little kids. They can play this. They can finally play a card game. And to those people, I say, well, first of all, you suck, because the elitist attitude is stupid. But second of all, it's just a different game.
Yeah.
And yes, it's more accessible, but more accessible doesn't always mean like lame or easier or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of depth built into Hearthstone that is not noticeable, like from like an early perspective. Like if you just play the game a few times, you don't notice the depth that actually goes into it, right? The fact that minions continue to have their health like be dwindled when they attack things, they don't get it back, like that kind of stuff changes fundamentally how the game is played. The fact that you can decide where the attacks go rather than just deciding whether to defend or not changes how combat works in a huge way, and just is a different set of strategy, but still very much strategy, right? There's still a lot going on, and there's a lot of depth. And then there's all these things like the, you know, 30-card deck and getting mana every turn without having to draw and play mana, without having to manage your mana base, all that kind of stuff, just makes it so that, yes, on the outside, it's a simpler game. The mechanics work in an easier fashion. It's easier to grasp, but there's still a lot of depth underneath. So it's kind of like,
every, you know, game they
easy
make.
Easy to learn, hard to master kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
it's their mantra throughout every game they've ever built. Like, this is how they've always been. So if people think that that's what Blizzard is today, they may as well remember that that's what Blizzard was 25 years ago. They've always made accessible games where the depth is a little more hidden, the accessibility is immediate, and you find that depth and then you're in for good. I feel the same way about Heroes of the Storm. I feel that way about World of Warcraft. I certainly feel that way about Overwatch. Like, that's just the kinds of games they make, and certainly Hearthstone's no different. But man, is it accessible! Not only that, you know, they built a game in an engine that is freely available to everyone to build games in, and yet they still somehow managed to make it more polished than any other Unity-based game I've seen. And so some would say, well, they probably did some custom stuff. Okay, maybe they've got huge resources. I get that, but with, you know, they value that more than release dates. They value that more than initial sales numbers, and that shows. So
imagine trying to get like my mom to play Magic, and then imagine trying to get my mom to play Hearthstone.
It's a totally different perspective.
It's possible. It's actually possible for her to play a game of Hearthstone.
Right,
but Magic would just be immediately no.
And thank goodness you can do both of these things, and thank goodness the tabletop experience exists.
Exactly, right? that's the beauty of it, right? Is if you don't prefer Hearthstone, you don't have to play it, and it's just, I find that kind of attitude funny, because I personally, you know, I've always kind of just been this way where I'm just like, I'll try all of this stuff and eventually one of them will stick.
Yeah.
Right. It turns out with card games, they all kind of stick for me. I just really like card games. I like poker.
Yeah.
I like, you know, everything. But Hearthstone is still the game to me that I get, like right now, Hearthstone takes up more of my gameplay time than any other game.
Oh yeah,
World of Warcraft included, right? And I didn't think that would ever be the case, but
who would have guessed back in 2014?
Yeah, when I was raiding six nights a week, you couldn't have told me back then that one day, Dills, you're going to play a silly card game six nights a week instead.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's where
we are. Check out your stream any given day, and you're likely to see you playing Hearthstone.
Pretty much
than something else. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more about all that and the current state of the game, what the future may hold here in a second. But before all of that, quick bit of news about Blizzard. Blizzard is done supporting your XP or Vista machine, so get ready for that.
What?
Yeah, here's the announcement. Starting later this year, we'll begin the process of ending support for Windows XP and Windows Vista in World of Warcraft, StarCraft II, Diablo III, Hearthstone, and Heroes of the Storm. Microsoft ceased mainstream support for these versions of Windows in 2009 and 2012, respectively. But since a decent portion of our audience is still using it at the time, or was at the time, we continued to support them. However, there have been three major upgrades to Windows since Vista, and at this point, a vast majority of our audience is upgraded to one of those newer versions. 7 or 10 is the likelihood. After these older operating systems are no longer supported, the games will not run on them. So we will encourage any players who are still using the older OSs to upgrade to a new version. We'll be rolling out this change on a staggered schedule, and we'll further post notice as we get closer to making the change in each game. That does not mean immediately, suddenly in November or October, your Hearthstone client or your WoW client will just stop working. It just means that they're not supporting it or tweaking it or adding it or fixing it from then on. And that means when they do stop working for whatever upgradable, whatever reason they've upgraded their own clients, they're not going to go back and make sure that Vista support is there or that XP support is there. And I have to imagine, dude, they're doing right by everybody by doing this, by the way, by rolling it out, letting us know well in advance and all that stuff. But there's got to be like five people using Vista or XP.
There's somebody who still has, a 20-year-old machine is playing WoW on it. Yeah. And I feel bad for that person.
Yeah, I feel like things have kind of passed you up there, dude. Get yourself, not everybody wants to run out and buy new hardware or whatever, but if you're playing the current game, unless you're one of these Nostralius people or playing like on some old ancient hardware because the client's that old, I suppose that's fine. But even the new client has way stiffer guidelines. So if you're playing on the new client and it's working for you, that means you're running XP because you're making a choice, and you somehow think that I'm not some Philistine. I will not upgrade my version of Windows past XP. It does everything I need. Then that's a different. You're a different case.
I know people who refuse to update. Right? I have people in my family who are like five versions of iOS old.
Yeah.
And they won't hit the button. Right.
Right.
And then they're like, "This damn phone doesn't work." And I'm like, "Dude, you haven't updated your iOS in forever. And all the apps are supposed to work with the new versions, and you're still using whatever." And they're like, but that's going to break everything. It's like, no, it's not. No, it's going to fix everything.
Fixes lots of things. There's a certain faction of, software computer users who are just, they want their original thing, and they don't like being told that they have to upgrade.
Well, they remember one time they upgraded something and then everything broke. Right. So they just kind of, they're like results oriented, and they're like, "Well, it's always going to break then if I update." And it's like, no, it's not. Sometimes, yes, there are hiccups, but it's better to stay with the current stuff. Yeah. It's always better.
It's also important to note the Overwatch never ran on XP or Vista, so you were always having to use 7 or higher on that. Yeah. That's why it's not listed.
And actually, when I worked for a software company, it was kind of amazing to look at the percentages, because we would know, who was using our software and what OSs they were running, right?
Right.
It was amazing how many people were using really outdated stuff, right?
Yeah.
Just the sheer amount of people still on XP, I was just like, I can't believe it. Because it's like 10 years old or something like that.
I mean, you and I are edge cases, because if somebody came out tomorrow, Ben Broder, Brode came out and said, "Yo,
Browder, it's a combination."
Yeah, Ben Browder, Russell Browder. Yeah, there are not Russell Browder. Russell Brower, Ben Brode, and the other Browder all got together and made a monster of a developer, and that's what that would be. But no, if they came out tomorrow and said, "Sorry guys, the Hearthstone client's going to require a GeForce 1090 and a freaking tricked out rig and all this stuff. That's just our decision." Guys like you and me would go, "Oh shit, all right, well, we need to make some business decisions here, and we need to upgrade this hardware because we need to do this thing." Mm-hmm. And that's an extreme case, but I also understand that we're edge cases, and there are people out there that would just rather not get that worked up. It's a very casual thing for them, and they don't
want to. I'm not your standard user, right? And we deal with stuff like every single time we podcast, I guess there's a Skype update, just you know, and then it's just part of, it's part of daily life, right? To just, okay, keep your stuff upgraded, do this. And I know you have in the past used an older version of Skype or whatever, because it had some feature that it, the new version like lost or whatever. Right? I mean, that type of stuff does happen from time to time.
Yeah. Then that quit working, 'cause then you couldn't talk to people who had new versions, and then, oh my gosh, that was a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, there's specific reasons sometimes to use an older version of a piece of software,
but
as far as your OS is concerned, like there's things like the security updates and stuff like that, like everything. And it's just compatibility with every new piece of software.
Right.
And to expect Blizzard to continue to support a version just because you use it. Like, I'm using the 10-year-old thing, so Blizzard, you better also support it. That's just not realistic. So like this they've held on for quite a while, to be honest.
Yeah. For dear life. In the case of, like, my dentist has Windows XP, right? And he has this software package that at the time they paid $50,000 for. To manage patients and database, all the tooth scans and all this stuff. And we were talking not long ago. He's like, I'm getting pressured. I'm going to have to change. And that meant all the hardware had to be updated. He was going to have to get all new stuff, and that was going to cost him another 50 or 60 grand. Now, those are cases I understand where you'd hold on to your old thing as long as you could, right?
Sure. Like when you go to the mechanic, they're still printing on those old printers that have like the holes on the side of the paper.
Yeah, dot matrix.
And they're still using like, you know, an Apple IIe or whatever. Yeah, that's fine, because all they're really doing is entering your information and printing out like a receipt. Right? Yeah,
God love
it. So who needs new software when that's all you're doing?
Yeah, hats off to those guys. Keep going. Keep on keeping on. That's great. But if you want to run, you know, StarCraft 2, sorry, you gotta upgrade. Also, just real quick, Lucio is a big hit in Heroes. People really like him. People should be playing him.
I have not tried him yet, actually.
He's great. He's great.
I love Lucio in Overwatch. He's one of my favorite characters in Overwatch because he's just so good. He's like so much utility, right? Yeah. You just feel like you're helping when you play Lucio.
Yeah, he's great, and he spends a good deal of time doing things that healers shouldn't do. Like his speed boost allows a lot of last second kills so that you can kind of catch up to fleeing enemies.
Very similar to like the other Overwatch heroes, where it just feels like the Overwatch hero, like you're swapping back and forth between speed and healing. And
oh, for sure, he has mana, so that's weird, but unlike the other two, but the way he uses it makes pretty good sense. There's no reloading with him like there is with Tracer, or I guess Zarya. Is Zarya reload? I don't remember actually how she works. I forget. I haven't played her enough, but. Anyway, he's great, and he just provides lots of critical moment type stuff. He's really fun to play. People like Bo on the core show with me, he usually does not like playing supports, and he won't play anything but Lucio right now. He loves him. So I think there's a lot to offer people who maybe even aren't normally support types. If you're looking for a lane clearing character, don't, you know, he's not your guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But
he needs to be with somebody else, right?
Yeah, he is a real great team player, even if it's just two of you. He's a great dual support, even a single support, and totally worth playing. And if you want tons of details on that character and exhaustive sort of reporting on what we thought of him, you can check out the latest couple episodes of Core, where we go pretty deep on those. So check those out. And then finally, today, relatively breaking news, the official Overwatch account tweeted a picture, an image, a bit of a tease for a new character. It's probably Doomfist. And I think that because there's a lot of, I don't know, robots smashed into walls and stuff in this image. There's not a lot of other hints. But the way PC Gamer said it, they said, oh, it looks like some sort of robotic character. And everyone else is saying Doomfist. And I think that jives also with Terry Crews hinting while he was at Blizzard that he was doing the voice for Doomfist. Feels like we're getting Doomfist. So...
that would make sense. Yeah. I mean, there's been lots of hints at Doomfist for a really long time.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is, you're talking about the live from Numbani International Airport thing.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if
a giant like smashed wall and dead robots. Yeah. Doomfist.
Please let it be that when I go into Numbani next time and I'm in the airport spawn area, please tell me that all the geometry is different and those robots are stuck in the wall and there's shit all over the place. That's what I want. So, I like when the game does that.
Chat room is telling us Jeff came out saying it's not who we're thinking. So
maybe not Doomfist.
Maybe not Doomfist.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, whoever
maybe
it is.
Something totally different.
Whoever it is does a lot of freaking damage. And like when the Brothers one came out, the Two Dragons animated short, they went back and reworked I forgot the Japan level name all of a sudden. Anyway, they reworked it so that the arrows...
Hanamura,
there you go. The arrows that Hanzo was shooting were now in the playable map, and you could see where the damage areas were, where Genji got thrown through that kind of onion skin wall thing, and that stuff's now permanently part of the geometry of that map. I love it when they do that. So I hope that that scene at the airport shows up in the airport in the actual playable game. That would be really cool. Anyway.
So there's other rumors about Effie, I can't remember the last name.
Effie's
and that might
name.
Be the character instead. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of weird stuff going on. I honestly don't keep up with it as much.
Yeah.
I haven't been playing as much Overwatch as I thought I would.
Mm.
Like when that game came out, I was so ready, right?
Yeah.
And then I think the more I played it, the more I realized I just kind of suck at these games. And it's like playing games that you're not that great at.
Yeah.
Just doesn't feel that good, right? And I could probably spend some time getting better.
Yeah.
But it's just been a long time since I played shooters, you know? And that type of gameplay is just, it just feels, it's like I'm writing with my left hand or something while I'm playing it. Because I'm watching people just headshot left and right.
Yeah.
And I can't hit a damn thing. So, you know?
Yeah, I've been, that's how I am with Hearthstone. So... Let's talk about that, actually, because we'll dive right into this. This idea that Hearthstone is a little more impenetrable for me has always eluded me a little bit. And I'll have sparks of like, oh, I'm back in and I'm into this, and then I'll kind of fall off again. And then usually it comes down to what you just said. I don't think I'm good enough to have the kind of fun I want. So I end up having a very casual good time, but then I start losing in very high ranks or low ranks, rather. And I just go, well, maybe I'll just not do this again, you know, for a while. And then I don't play it for a very long time. Whereas a lot of my friends, you included, are, you know, killing it in the game. So I want to talk a little bit about some of that. But before we do, let's talk about the general health of Hearthstone as it stands today. The state of the game, the community, its relationship with Warcraft, how it's growing. You said before the show there has been an avalanche of stuff lately. In fact, it feels like it's the most news-centric game at the moment for Blizzard, which surprises me.
It does, actually. Yeah. I'll just kind of talk about... So in 2016, the Team 5, which is the section of Blizzard that is working on Hearthstone, they were kind of silent for a really long time. And it was weird to us, doing the Angry Chicken, that suddenly we weren't really hearing from them very much.
Mm.
And... it felt like maybe they were kind of not really responding well to the way the community kind of converses with them.
Yeah.
I would say the Hearthstone subreddit is like Mos Eisley, right?
Yeah.
It's just a
hive of scum and villainy.
Yeah, hive of scum and villainy, exactly.
Sure.
It's just bad people, man. Some bad hombres, right?
Mm.
Bad dudes, you know, gotta get them out of here.
Right.
But they're not nice about the game. Like they play the game every day. They watch it on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
They spend all their damn time thinking and playing Hearthstone, and they act like they hate the game so much, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very strange to me. The Hearthstone subreddit is like one of the largest subreddits for almost any game out there. I mean. A lot of the Blizzard ones are fairly big, but the Hearthstone one is just massive. Mm-hmm. And there's tons and tons of stuff in there every single day. But basically all of the stuff in there was just talking smack about the game, right? About how bad it was. So it kind of felt like what happened was Team 5 just kind of withdrew and went into their shell a little bit, right? And that was frustrating for us at the Angry Chicken, because obviously, you know, when we have to do a show every single week about this game, and we're not hearing anything from the community or from the developers. It gets very hard, right? It's you feel like maybe you're getting things wrong, but there's no clarification. It just kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And then in 2017, at some point, Ben Brode became like lead designer or something, senior designer. He moved into the position of game director. And I'm not exactly sure what that means behind the scenes. But at least outwardly, what has happened is they have become so vocal, almost to the point where it's overwhelming. Like every single week now, there's something new being told to us. There's a Q&A with devs. There's some big announcement, all sorts of stuff. And it's been insane, like how much they've been talking to us now. And that's great. And that, I think, has made, to me, the game feel a lot just healthier from just an overall perspective, right? Mm. Just the way the game feels. And that's different from the way the game feels right now when you play it. Because the last set of cards featured a couple of cards, patches, and Small Time Buccaneer, which have created this meta that's so insanely fast that you basically are forced to keep up with it, right? Mm. And so the actual game right now is maybe in the least healthy spot it's been that I can remember, okay. Right?
All right.
There was a card called Muster for Battle. I don't know if you're familiar with this card, Scott.
Yeah, vaguely.
So it's a paladin card, costs 3 mana, and when you play it, you get a 1/4 weapon and 3/1/1 dudes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you can attack right away with your weapon, but not with your dudes. That's a 3 mana card.
Yeah.
In the current state of Hearthstone, on turn 1 as a warrior, if I'm going second and I have the coin, or the ring, as you like to call it,
yeah.
if I have the coin, I can actually play a 1/1 pirate that equips a 1/3 weapon and summons another 1/1 pirate that has charge. And then I can coin out a 1/2 pirate that becomes a 3/2 if I have a weapon equipped. And obviously, the first pirate I played had a weapon attached to him, right?
Yeah.
So on turn 1, I have 2 1/1s and a 3/2, one of them with charge, and a 1/3 weapon.
Yeah.
Now, this used to be a turn 3 card that we complained about that wasn't even as good. It's insane what has happened to the game.
Yeah.
It's just gotten so damn fast that it actually feels kind of terrible. It feels like the games are decided on turn 1 now.
Wow.
You had a thing to play on turn 1, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I lose, right? And that's not where the game should be, right? You should be able to play a game and have some back and forth and decisions matter. But right now it just kind of feels like, well, I drew better than you did, so I won. And card games always inherently have card draw, and there's some RNG related to that. That's always going to be a thing in card games.
Right.
But right now it's just games are decided too fast.
Yeah.
So it's in a personally, I believe the gameplay aspect of Hearthstone right now is the worst it's been in a long time. That being said, the health of the game overall, how many people are playing it, talking about it, how much Team 5 is talking to us, best place it's ever been. So, okay.
So that's super interesting. Yeah. That is not something I would have expected for you to say. And it's weird. The Heroes team is kind of in this weird new place as well. They used to be very quiet on the kind of community front. Not a lot of stuff coming out of them, not talking about a lot of things, just sort of putting out heroes and hoping for the best sort of thing. And lately, probably in the last, I don't know, 8 to 10 months, they have been on fire with that stuff. Just awesome about reach out, about new information, about letting community know ahead of time when something's going to happen, that sort of stuff. They've been really great about it. And the game itself has been in some of the best shape it's ever been. So what you've described is half of that, at least. Are the things that they've announced recently, like arena drafts, being able to using the standard format, common and basic cards showing up less than before, that sort of stuff. Are these changes are they going to put it in the gameplay place you need it to be? All right, though, before you answer that, we're going to keep you hanging because we got a quick break to take. So hang on there. We'll be right back. All right, you guys, I wanted to take a minute and talk to you about Audible. We love Audible. Their unmatched selection of audiobooks, original shows, news, and comedy, and more they're just that. They're unmatched. Audiobooks are a great way to listen to the kind of stuff you like, whatever that is. Maybe you're driving. Maybe you're stuck in traffic. Maybe you're on the subway or the bus. Maybe you're doing chores around the house. That's what I do a lot with Audible. Maybe you're at the gym or you're running around the park, doing errands, shopping, whatever. There's no limit to when you can put those earbuds in your head and listen to Audible content. Well, I love them. And for our audience, Audible is offering a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial. Put 30 and free together. 30-day free trial. And if you want to listen to it, Audible has it. Just go to audible.com/wow and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. And there's so much in there to like. I'm currently listening to The Blade Itself by Joe Abercrombie, and it's awesome. It's also really good for WoW fans, I think, because it's hardcore fantasy. It's really good. Anyway, go check that out. And again, here's our offer. Audible.com/wow will get you a free 30 days and a free audiobook at Audible. Get a free audiobook and 30 days free. That's your trial over at audible.com/wow. Big, big thanks to Audible. All right, back to the show. All right, Dills, it is now your chance to answer the question I posed before. What do you think?
I think so. So they announced a couple of nerfs that are going to, I think, help the gameplay state quite a bit. They're nerfing one of the pirates.
Yeah.
So that 3-2 I talked about, it's going to have one health instead. Okay. So it'll be a 3-1 if you have a weapon.
Yeah.
Which means it'll be easier to kill, which maybe means that people will stop playing it as much. And that'll be good. I personally play a lot of like fun decks. I mean, I'm streaming, so if I wasn't streaming, I might sit there and grind out Shaman or whatever, right? But because I'm streaming, people don't really want to watch that. So I end up playing a lot of fun decks.
Right.
Fun decks are hard to play right now because they just lose to all these really good decks.
Yeah.
But a lot of the changes that they've called out for are going to improve the state of the game quite a bit. And what I hope is that going forward, the philosophy around the balance and the speed of the game also changes quite a bit. Because I think what they've done is with each successive release of cards, it's not necessarily that they're trying to speed the game up. It's just that it happens, right? Because they put out a new one drop, they put out a new two drop or whatever, and they're just slightly better, or they enable some things to happen, and the game just continues to speed up. And hopefully what they do is they kind of start slowing down on those cards and putting more late game, big, fun, cool cards in.
Mm-hmm.
Like your Ragnaroses, right? Like that's just a fun card. You play Rag and it's an 8-8 and it just slams people for 8 damage and it shoots fireballs. It's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like those kind of cards are just getting lost in the shuffle now because the other cards just end up winning you the game more often, right? You don't even get to turn 8 anymore.
Right.
So hopefully their philosophy around that changes. But they've announced, like, obviously, like the arena draft going to standard format. I think that's a huge deal because arena is a great way to play the game. But right now it gets a little stagnant because every time they put new cards out, they don't make a big enough difference, right? There's so many cards available that the new cards, unless they up the percentage of them, don't end up making up a big enough portion of the draft. And then when they do this thing where they up the percentage of them, it then makes that, it's like it's forcing something that doesn't need to be forced, right?
Mm-hmm.
It should just be if you use the standard format, then it works fine.
Right.
But what they're doing is they're like, oh, the new cards show up 200% more often. And then it's just like, well, now I'm getting nothing but the new cards, mm-hmm. right? So going to standard and then dropping that thing, that should be helpful. And then, of course, they're changing the way you see like spells and stuff. Now, let me ask you this,
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah.
Do you, when you play Hearthstone,
yeah.
what do you do? What button do you push? Do you push just the play button and you just go in?
Depends.
Hit the ladder up?
I've never, well, I shouldn't say never. I did some arena early on, but I've not done arena in probably a couple of years.
Okay.
I usually go in and try to, when I'm feeling try-hardy, I want to go in and do ranked. You know, rank, see if I can get myself up on that thing and see if I can get to a place where I can get the damn card back. And, you know, the monthly rewards or the seasonal reward stuff is what I'm always looking for. But there are times where maybe I've just got some toilet time or something and it's just hit play on my phone and let's go and knock one out. And I'll usually pick
knock one out.
Yeah. Knock one out. Ways. Yeah. Sure. Two different ways at once. drop two kids off at the pool.
Yeah.
But I like to. I have a hunter and a mage build that I both like those decks quite a bit. And so I'll use those and I check those once in a while and go, how are these doing? Are these decks still viable? Oh, look, someone swapped these three cards in for these other three and that's because they're better now. And so I'll do those or I don't have this card yet. So do I have anything to dust and build with yet? Nope. Okay, cool. Let's just go get some decks and, you know, see if I can find the cards. That sort of approach. But it's never like a every day.
Yeah,
I have every card.
I do feel like a card, like, so a game like Heroes, I feel like I can not play it for like 4 months. Mm-hmm. And then I could open it up and I'd go, oh, well, I like Anubarak. I know that. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Yeah. Right. Because yeah. all the heroes are somewhat balanced.
Right. You might be a little rusty at Anubarak, but you still know you liked him and it'll come back to you.
Sure.
Yeah.
But a game like Hearthstone,
yeah.
if you put it down for 4 months
yeah.
and you come back,
yeah,
like yeah. Two sets have come out and I don't have any of these cards. Like, people will play cards. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's card games are just inherently like that, though. That's not like a fault of Hearthstone.
It's not a broken thing. It's just the yeah. way these work, right?
That's just the way. Yeah, that's the way it works. If you don't put out new cards, then the game just gets boring as hell. You know, like, you can't just play the same cards forever.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, this is just not, it's not for everybody, right? And it's just never going to be for everybody. But one of the things that they want to focus on is the players like you, who maybe just kind of casually step in and out of the game, right?
Right.
They want the game to be accessible to you after 3 or 4 months.
I feel like I feel like the way that they're trying to get people like me, though, is they're trying to say, hey, we got a new adventure out. But now we've just heard there are no new adventures in 2017.
Yeah, but that's actually a healthy thing for the game, because the adventures actually didn't do much for the meta, right? And also, like, if you're a free-to-play player,
yeah.
the adventures were actually even harder for you to earn the cards, because you had to buy the wings with 700 gold,
yeah.
and you had to buy, you know, 5 wings or whatever it was, 4 wings, or, you know, it's a lot of gold. And to earn 2,800 gold in Hearthstone takes a while.
Right.
So now you'll be able to just, like, earn the packs through, like, arena play or earning 100 gold and buy a pack. It'll actually be slightly easier to get these cards. I know a lot of people don't believe me there, but it's actually that is the case. If you look at it objectively, that is the case. But for the player like you,
yeah.
the kind of the key is that the cards you already have will kind of always be okay, right? Like, you can come in 3 months later and maybe only need like 3 or 4 new cards, and not I need 50 cards, right? Or I need to replace this entire deck,
right?
So does it feel like that at all to you? Like, I mean, the classic set's never going away.
Right.
Like, does that kind of give you that feeling?
A little
bit. I don't know what it's like for a player who steps away. I never step away.
I know. Right? You've never stepped away. It's a good point.
Like I said, I've said this on my stream and on the podcast. I'm dug in. Like, no matter how bad the meta feels, I am dug in.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stop playing Hearthstone.
Yeah,
I'm not your typical player. I'm not the player who's going to step away because I feel frustrated.
Yeah,
right?
you've embraced it in a way that means that you're all in all the time. I
will continue punching my head against this wall.
Sure.
No matter what.
And I keep getting to a place where I'm like, oh, I want to do that. Because I love me some Blizzard. The way I do it with Heroes, I play Heroes multiple times every week all the time. I freaking love Heroes. To death. I play it more than maybe any Blizzard game right now. And so I often go, well, I should be playing Hearthstone like that. And then I get in and I go, oh, maybe I shouldn't, because that was 4 losses and that sucked. And see you later. And I don't know even what that card was that guy played. That was weird. Like, all the things you're talking about. So for me, the approach is always, I forget about it for a while and then I come back and I try to look at it fresh and go, well, what kind of fun can I just have in the moment here? I try not to think about how close am I to getting gold to buy packs or you know, what rank am I? Or I try to not think of those things. I just try to think, in this moment, what cool thing can I do because I got lucky and got this card, and what can I do right now to have some fun?
Sure.
And that lasts as long as I win half my games, but the minute I start losing, you know, I maybe rank
up. It
starts
to feel bad.
Yeah,
right?
It starts to feel bad. And then I'm like, well, sure. I could feel bad somewhere else.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. If I want to feel bad, I could definitely find ways to do that.
Right.
And I get that. I think that's going to be the struggle for Hearthstone from a developer standpoint forever, is how do you make the game feel good to players who don't play very often, right?
Right.
And then still feel good to players who play all the time, because those people are, you know, that's the base, right? Those people matter, I would say, even more. The people like me who play every single day, We probably generate more revenue for Hearthstone than the players like you, right?
Oh, for sure.
Even though there's probably more of you.
Yeah.
And you know, like if you are ranked 20, that's actually like really good. And people don't know that. People don't feel that. But most of the player base is actually not ranked 20, right? Like they're 25 to 20. And yet if you get to 20, you should feel like that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
And yet does it feel like an accomplishment?
No.
To be ranked 20 out of a possible 25?
No.
Like that's another problem, right? Like how do you make that feel good? Because if I play Overwatch competitive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I go from bronze to silver, like that feels really good.
Yeah.
Even though I'm still silver, and that still sucks, right?
Yeah.
Like there's gold, platinum, whatever, grandmaster, all that stuff. There's all that stuff above me. But I feel like, hey, I went forward, right? And going from like rank 25 to rank 20 just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel very good. It still feels like you're bad.
Right.
So there's lots of things in the game that just aren't really incentivizing like the players like you, the casual players, to continue to feel bad, to feel good later. Right.
Right. Like, right.
Like, you know, like in World of Warcraft, you're kind of working towards something all the time.
Yeah. It's always obtainable. It's always a question of, what time am I willing to spend and how far do I want to go?
See the goal in front of you,
right,
and you kind of know what's left to get there.
Yeah.
Right.
Ironically,
if I'm trying to earn a mount in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And I know I have to do this daily 20 times.
Right.
You know, that's kind of how it works.
It's true. And it's funny because this is a lot like the conversation I had with Patrick a few episodes ago about competitive play in general and how this is what's different. Like this is the new Blizzard, but it's also a very different path. And wow, there are competitive aspects, certainly, but most of it is, what do you want to do? In Diablo, it's about what do you want to do? But in Heroes of the Storm and in this and in Overwatch, it's about who do you want to beat and how willing of a beating are you willing to take from your MMR or your placements or your whatever. It's a different prospect. It's a different value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
always PvP too.
Yeah.
Right. And you brought up the adventures. You know, that I think why that appeals to players like you is it takes out that competition, right?
Right.
I'm not now, like if I lose to the computer, there's not a person on the other side emoting me over and over again as they, you know, kick my ass, right? They don't have lethal and then spend like let the rope go and then finally kill me because they're just a jerk.
Because they're BMing.
That just doesn't happen. Yeah.
You don't get BM'd by the AI ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no lol noob. There's no, you know, friend you after the game and talk smack to you. None of that happens.
Right.
And for a lot of players, the prospect of that happening is like too much, right? And I've always been, I like PvP. I like to play other people. I like to try to beat somebody else. Yeah, right.
Me too. I love it in Heroes. I love it in Overwatch. I love it in my shooters especially. I've been playing since, you know, Doom and Quake and Unreal, and it was always about multiplayer in those games, and I love it. And I don't know what it is about Hearthstone, but it never quite feels like I'm playing. I know I'm playing people.
Yeah.
They're less people though, because in a way, seems like a weird thing to say, but at least in Heroes, they can say some dumb shit to me at the end. Whereas in Hearthstone, all they can do is go, well played, when I know they just are being sarcastic or something.
Sure.
Or I have to assign meaning to the emote they chose to use. Now, on the one hand, it's like, I love that because they're keeping trolls out of the game and you can play with a clear head. On the other hand.
But they're not really.
They're
like,
not.
I mean, the truth is that they're not. Like, the people still find ways. Like life finds
always,
a way.
Life always finds asshole, a way to be a dick. Right? Yeah, dicks can. A douchebag Carl finds his way every time.
Yep. If he can't roll on your loot, he's going to emote sorry over and over again. Right.
No, it's true. Or let the fuse go for every move or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, for whatever reason, I find it more frustrating there than I do. I could have a string of 7 losses in Heroes, which represents, you know, 25 minutes a game. That's a chunk of time.
That's a long time. I know. When I lose a game of Heroes, I feel more frustration playing a game of Heroes when I'm losing than any other game I feel.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I feel it less there than I do in
Hearthstone.
Overwatch, I don't feel it as hard either.
Definitely crushing, soul-crushing Hearthstone games. This is true.
Yeah.
And I've had them where you realize, I'm not going to lose next turn, but five turns from now, I'm definitely not going to win this game. But I feel like I can just concede and move on, right? And I play another game really quickly, and the games last about 5 to 10 minutes, and I'm moving on, and I'm whatever. Heroes, I can't just bail on the game. There's four other people.
Right.
Right? So if I just bail on the game, not only do I get, like, deserter penalties and all that kind of stuff, but I'm actually being actively a dick to, like, four other people. And so I, like, have to stick it out, and we're three levels behind, and the other guy is off in his own lane doing whatever, and that we lose the game not because of me. I feel like I was doing okay. I was trying my best. But because of, you know, homeboy down there in the bottom lane, we're not going to ever win this game, right? And to me, that's more frustrating than knowing that I can go into my collection and alter a card, figure out a way. I can put my thinking cap on and solve this puzzle myself. Right. And it's all on me, right?
Right.
And then I can queue up again and try again.
Right.
I know that in Hearthstone and in those other games, I'm like, I'm doing my best. I don't know what else I can do. Right. And that's to me more frustrating than anything. Right. Like, I like to play a lot of pool. In pool, it's like, if I sucked, you know, yes, the other guy like ran out or something like that, and I couldn't do anything about it. But if I get to the table and then I miss the shot, that's on me, right? Nobody else did that.
That's a good
point.
Nobody
else missed the shot.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's their only one-on-one outside of dueling in Warcraft. It's the only one-on-one. Or I suppose you could do it in StarCraft.
You can one-on-one in Overwatch, but it's weird.
It's weird, yeah. It's not the same.
It's not a game really designed for that, right?
No, a game like, you know, Quaker Unreal was great at that because everything was equal, but because you can't, well, I guess you can be the same character. It's not the same. That thing's focused on team play, but you're right. That makes a really good point. There's the one-on-one nature means that you were not beholden to PvP Larry at the bottom lane who would not.
Yeah.
Or PvE Larry rather.
Sure. Yeah. The guy who's just like killing towers and not joining in the team fights, like that guy makes you lose. Right. And then in Hearthstone, I can solve this puzzle. Like, and yes, the game is very draw dependent. Sometimes it feels like there was nothing that I could do. But I recognize a lot of times people will say there was nothing I could do.
Yeah.
But if I look over your game, there was lots of things you could do.
Yeah.
Like that, people oftentimes walk away from a game of Hearthstone saying, I was just never going to win that game.
Yeah.
That was just nothing could be done. And a pro player could take the exact same draw you had and win the game.
Yeah.
And you don't notice that you made mistakes. You don't realize that mistakes were made. Like, I've been casting. I have this thing called the Dills Hearthstone League, right?
Yeah.
Which is basically people who sub to my channel or people who are patrons of my own personal Patreon can join a weekly Hearthstone League.
Right.
We have 8 weeks of competition and then playoffs, and we're in season 3 of it, right? It's great. It's super fun.
Yeah.
Everybody plays against each other and they end up making friends and it's great. And this season, because last season I actually won, and I was like undefeated, and I was like, I'll never get better than that. So I'm going to pull out of the competition. And instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to broadcast featured games each week from the Dills Hearthstone League.
Yeah.
So I've been casting these games.
Yeah.
And while I'm casting the games, I'm recognizing how other people kind of play the game and they don't see plays. Or they see a play that I didn't see, right? And so you kind of start to recognize, like, there's a lot more choice in Hearthstone than you think.
Mm-hmm.
You think, I have 5 mana, there's only one thing to do. I play this card that costs 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, you could play a card that costs 3 and your hero power. You could. There's all sorts of things. Where the attacks go.
It's easy to get tunnel vision in that game and not see anything more than the one or two cards that you're used to using at 5 or 6 mana or whatever, yeah.
Like a lot of times people see, like, they see the first play they see, and then they never even look past that, right?
Yeah.
Like, they just stop there, and they go, cool, you know, got it, I'm going to do this now. And if you actually stop and really look at it like a game of chess or something, where there's lots of different moves and different ways you could go, then you start to kind of see that I could go down this line of play, or I could go down this line of play, and there's a different result each place, right? There's an alternate universe where you won that game that you thought was unwinnable if you had just made some different choices. So to me, that's really attractive in a game where I know that I can go back and fix the problem.
Right.
And when I play Heroes, when I play Overwatch, I don't feel that because I feel like, I mean, at the end, I could be like the MVP on the screen in a losing game and it doesn't feel good to me, right?
Right.
It still feels bad. It still feels like we lost. And then I try to go back and I know like Bo or somebody who's actually like does re- or Kyle.
Kyle's amazing, man.
Well, at a Game of Heroes, will tell me that I made mistakes that I didn't see.
Well, right? For sure. Yeah, he's really good at doing
and
that.
You can get better and you can still affect the outcome. But it's just to me, it's like I'm affecting 20% of the outcome. Right.
Right.
I'm 20% of the team here. Mm-hmm. So 80% of the team is going to affect it more than my 20%.
Sure.
So
even if you're really good and you're carrying, you're still not 100% of the game.
At Hearthstone, I'm 100%.
Right.
I'm all of it.
Right.
I'm the team. Yeah. Like it is me. I am the Michael Jordan of my own Hearthstone experience. Right. So that's very attractive to me. But I understand that it's not for everybody else.
Right. Team play versus single play is it's a part of this I hadn't really thought about. All right. So moving forward into this next year, before we wind things down, I'm really curious about this whole, there seems to be controversy about the idea that you're going to get gold copies of your card in Arena if you own them. And people are mad about that, and I can't understand.
No, I mean, not most people. Most people are fine with it, but there's always like a weird guy who's like, some people prefer non-gold cards.
Well, but why? Why though? Like, why would if I had all gold cards, that seems rad to me.
It does. I do have this thing though, where like if I build a deck and like I have, and I want two copies of a card in the deck, but I only have one gold copy.
Yeah.
I do not do one gold and one non-gold.
Oh, right? I see.
Like I do get that feeling because that to me, it makes like the deck list longer.
Yeah.
Because you see the gold copy and the non-gold copy.
Right.
And then it's weird when you draw one and it's gold and then you draw another one. It's not. I get it. I have the OCD there.
Right.
But to just not like any gold cards ever. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm sorry that the screen is shiny.
Mm-hmm.
But like I tweeted out, I was like, if this is the problem in your life, then your life is real good and you need to just stop.
We can't have pretty things anymore when you guys act like this. It's nice to have things that are nice.
Yeah. So. These are some of the quality of life changes that they're starting to make in Hearthstone that are just fantastic, right?
Yeah.
This is the stuff that they've been coming out and saying, it's just one thing after another of this is going to be better. And if we just stop trying to force our own ideas onto Hearthstone and let them develop the game and then experience it, we'll be happier.
Yeah,
right. Like, one of the things that I hate when people do, and I know like it's kind of our job in a way to critique and talk about things that are happening in video games.
Sure.
Right. So it's not like we're completely immune from this.
Right.
But one thing I hate is when you complain about something you haven't even tried yet. Right.
Yeah.
Like something's coming out. All I know about it is what you've told me, and I'm going to bitch and moan because I would have done it different, right? Like, I don't know.
I mean,
the fact that they're taking away adventures and giving us three full expansions a year, people are bitching about that,
of
right?
Course,
like,
of course.
Haven't even seen what the game looks like by the end of this year.
Yeah, if they said we're only going to do three adventures and no additional card expansions, you'd have more people pissed, but you still have people pissed. Like it seems like no matter what they do, people are going to be pissed. And I realize that's true across the board, and it doesn't matter what they do with WoW or any other game, you're going to have these dissenters, but I am 100% with you. If you haven't tried it, then you're just making sounds, and I need to try it first before I freak out. I mean, I may have concerns. I may go, ooh, I don't know about that, but I need to know.
Yeah,
I need to try it before I know, right?
But that's a different thing than saying like game sucks now. I'm out. I'm uninstalling. Like, there's just this kind of mentality that people have where they just sight unseen, they just make a judgment, right? And I think it's an unhealthy way to like look at the world. I wonder what their lives are like.
Well, it seems
that
they
do that with everything. Or
I get caught up in this sometimes. Like when I heard Samuro was coming at BlizzCon to Heroes, I don't like samurai goofy sandal motif like anime looking stuff. It's not my thing at all. It's just not I have no interest in it. And so I was immediately like, he's melee, he's man, I don't care. It's not even bait. I mean, it's already a weird idea that there's like this samurai orc in the World Warcraft universe. It's one of, you know, Sammy's ideas in the art team of like, this is cool because I scrawled it on my desk in seventh grade or something. And I just thought,
sure,
I don't care about this. And then I got it and played him and went, oh shit, he's great. And he's now one of my favorite characters, like straight up in my top five.
But that's because you had an open mind.
Right.
And
right.
You were willing to give something a shot. And I think that's like something that people need to just have more of in general. Like,
Yeah, forget video games.
If we're just talking life here, like let's all just have a more open mind about things and be willing to see the other side of things. But with regards to video games particularly, you know, give stuff a shot and then make a judgment when you have all the information, right?
Yeah, if you've never tried a Big Mac with 4 ounces of cocaine in it, don't knock it till you try it. Give that
a shot.
Could
be the greatest thing ever. Let's give it a shot.
Might
right?
blow your mind. All right, tell me about this Year of the Mammoth stuff. What do you think that means? What's that about?
So each year now in Hearthstone is going to be like its own thing. And Jocelyn's very upset because it's not the Year of the Unicorn. And they kind of tease that it would be the Year of the Unicorn.
Yeah.
But basically, there's a standard rotation now. And this is kind of to keep the game fresh, keep the game moving forward. The meta never just gets stale because you're always putting in new cards.
Right.
And also you're rotating other cards out of the standard set and into wild, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to play with your old cards, you can always do it in wild. That's always going to exist. There's always going to be a place to play with those cards. But Year of the Mammoth is going to be the new standard rotation, and we're getting 3 new sets. We are getting the new Maiev, I don't know how you say it.
Maiev, I think.
Maiev?
I think
sure.
so. That's the one with new the horrible,
rogue hero.
Her horrible armor.
She's actually going to be free.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is log in and play 10 games of standard.
Least favorite looking hero in Warcraft. Cannot stand how she looks. It's her stupid armor, that dumb helmet, and those broad shoulder pads. It's like the 80s had like a fantasy fart. I hate it.
Let me ask you this, though. When they do these, here's a reward for playing.
Yeah.
You always do it, right?
Oh, I always do it, yeah.
Yeah, like if it's play 10 games of Overwatch, if it's level a guy to 10 in World of Warcraft, if it's whatever.
Yeah, we just did it was easy because I was already doing it, but if you played 15 games to get the rad new mount in Warcraft and in Heroes, and I totally do those. I love those.
Yeah. So you'll do this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll play 10 games.
Oh, hell yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
toilet time alone will take care of that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And like this to me, like, so it was funny because the Heroes thing recently for a World of Warcraft mount, you know, after raid one night, a bunch of us were like, hey, let's go see if we can do this. And then we ended up having too many of us. We did a custom game and it didn't count, but whatever. That's besides the point. The fact is, after a raid, a bunch of people were like, I want the mount. Let's go play some Heroes. And everybody was like, some of the people were like level 7, right, in Heroes.
Yeah.
And they were like, I don't ever play this game. I suck at this game. And then after we played, they were like, I think I want to play more Heroes.
Right.
Like, I really, that was fun.
Yeah.
And that kind of experience, like,
that's happening.
That's
happening again. Yeah. It's happening
right?
again with that play 15 and get the two mounts thing with the Warcraft people. We have seen the best queue times in Heroes lately. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Everybody's in there to try to get that mount. Right. So
good.
Plus
so
everyone's playing with a friend.
Yep.
So it's not just solo, bot lane douchebag Carl.
he's still out there,
maybe
but
don't play the game very often. At least they got a friend, so they're trying to hang out with that guy.
Lots of two stacks, which is nice. And I'm here again, getting anecdotal evidence to our email saying, hey, I came for the mountain, stayed because it's fun. I didn't know this was this fun.
Sure.
I played here. Yeah. I played League for years, and I thought this was going to be just another League game, but this is different. This is why I like it. And that's always nice to see. So I assume
that happens with Hearthstone a little bit, because I know people have, I hear this all the time. We do the show about it. So obviously, like, our audience there are people who are also kind of dug in like me, but I hear from other people because I play other games. I do this show.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who probably play World of Warcraft. They've tried Hearthstone. They hate it.
Right.
Just, I don't like it. I'll never play it again.
Sure.
I just hope those people are willing to kind of give the game another shot and look at it from a more kind of objective overview rather than I lost the game, it felt bad, it sucks, the game sucks.
Right.
I would just encourage people who are listening to this show who don't play a lot of Hearthstone, and maybe the people who listen to this show who don't play Hearthstone have turned it off a long time ago.
Yeah, they probably did.
But if you stuck it out this long, give it another chance and try to think about turns and what your options are and look at the game a little bit more as like a real strategy game and not I got lucky or I didn't. I think a lot of people look at it that way. Like, I drew really well. I got lucky. Try to look at it from a strategy standpoint, right? And try to look at it from how can I put these pieces together to win a game and deal 30 damage?
Yeah.
And look at it from that perspective and try to think of it in a way where you're trying to have fun and trying to learn and trying to win. And each game can be a step in the right direction, not just another dump,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So I don't know. I hope that I haven't turned people off with this conversation where I'm talking about some of the negative aspects of it. But, you know, to me, what's always appealed to me about the game of Hearthstone still does to this day. And like I talked about, it's that one-on-one, I can learn, I can improve, I can get to a place I want to, right? I can set a goal for myself and achieve it.
Yeah.
And that's important. And for me in video games, right?
I had a dream the other night that the Hearthstone team is secretly working on a turn-based strategy game, you know, something akin to, you know, Warhammer game, or chess is a bad example, but, you know, like a good turn-based strategy game in the Hearthstone universe. Now, let's put that in perspective. I've always wanted one of those games from Blizzard in some way, and I would take it in any of their IPs or even something new.
Like a Final Fantasy Tactics type of thing?
Yeah, okay. But now that they've moved away from calling it Hearthstone Heroes of Warcraft, they have opportunities here to make this IP expand on its own and in its own way. And
they've done that with some of the recent stuff, like, you know, with Mean Streets of Gadgetzan.
Mm-hmm.
They invented characters, right?
Right.
They invented an entire world. They changed what Gadgetzan was.
Yeah, totally. And I love that. I love that they're taking the license to do that. But also, and I realize some people are yelling at their phones or wherever they're listening to this right now going, Scott, that's what Hearthstone is. It's a turn-based strategy. I understand. I just mean more like a tactics, you know, build a team, go out and do stuff, have this on mobile. It would be an enormous hit. And I got to thinking, well, why not the Hearthstone? Why not an expansion of that? Why not that instead of just another Warcraft offshoot or another Starcraft offshoot? Like, there's enough to do now in the world of Hearthstone to take it into a new gameplay arena and make it fun. It was literally a dream. Like, I woke up from it and went, oh, that's a cool idea. And I hope they do one day. So I just wanted
That'd
to
be
say
cool.
that. Yeah.
I mean, some of my hopes for Hearthstone right now, currently, we talk a lot about if anybody listening to this show really likes Hearthstone, I do another show completely about it called The Angry Chicken.
Yep.
You guys can check that out. That's all we talk about. But some of the hopes that we have that we've talked about on the show are things like a tournament mode where I can log in and not play on the ladder, but I could just join a tournament and play in that kind of way and still have a competitive experience that's not, oh, I'm ranked 25, I got to get to Legend before the month is over,
yeah,
or I'll never get there, that's just too tall of a mountain to climb. What if I could just log in and have like a play for an hour and I complete a tournament, and I either win or I don't or whatever, but I get like a competitive experience in kind of a smaller setting, right? Like that kind of stuff I really want. I really want what they've been doing with these other games where you could customize how the game works, right? Like, yeah. I don't understand why we can't have that in Hearthstone, because in Overwatch, I can go in, I could say, all of our ultimate abilities happen really quickly. And it's just... ultimate after ultimate after ultimate, right? Yeah. Or I can say, like, only headshots, or I could say whatever. Like, I can do all this weird stuff.
All the games have this now, except for Hearthstone.
And Hearthstone doesn't have it. Yeah. I'm like, I want to go in and I want to build a 60-card deck. I want to go in and I want to have 100 health.
Yeah.
I want to go in and I can have, you know, 10 copies of each card.
Yeah.
I want to go in and I can just do whatever I want.
I want everything to be zero mana and...
And just we both just like vomit our hand onto the board in turn one, right? I want to do that.
Yeah.
And they don't have that. So I'm hoping that kind of thing, it's like a sandbox mode, would be really, really fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, because like that's one of the best things about Magic,
yeah,
is that you just have the cards. So you and your buddy can just be like, okay, for this game, we each have 80 health and blah, 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 you know, and like, well, at the beginning of the game, I'll just take a hand of 12 cards and we'll just do whatever, right? Because it doesn't matter. You can make the rules as you go if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And Hearthstone just doesn't have that ability. So I'm hoping that kind of stuff gets added.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'm hoping that the game becomes a little bit slower and a little bit more of that back and forth type of feel. So
yeah,
we shall see where things go. The game, it's not like the game is dead game by any means.
Yeah.
But I do think people are getting a little frustrated right now with the speed of the game and the draw dependency. And hopefully as we move forward, we kind of escape from that and get kind of back to what the game felt like in vanilla, which was it felt like a game where there's a lot of back and forth, right?
Mm-hmm. So, oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I would say a good place to start would be The Angry Chicken, everybody. Go check it out over at amove.tv. Of course, Willie Dills on Twitter. You can find you on Twitch at twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF. Always something going on over there. Anything else you'd like to mention?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, just, yeah, come check out my stream. It's a lot of fun. We have a really good community over there. The Dillionaires are awesome. So if you're looking for a place to spend that Prime sub, you can come over there and hang out. Or if you don't want to sub at all and just want to watch, you're always welcome. So, yeah, definitely. Lots of Hearthstone. And I also will be playing some other card games. So if you're interested in seeing my take on other card games, I will be doing that as well.
I want to see what your take on Gwent is when it comes. So I'm going to be watching for that. I'm very curious about that. At least from your perspective, given how much experience you've had with some of these other games, I think
I'm stoked for Gwent for sure.
It's pretty good. All right. The other two chuckleheads will likely be back next week. At least Patrick. I think Terpster might still be in the States and we don't know what that'll mean, but we'll be back with probably a more regular show next week. Thank you guys for taking the time with us to talk a little more about Hearthstone in a way we don't usually get to on this show. Find more shows like this at frogpants.com. Follow us on Twitter at Instance Show. You can find me at Scott Johnson. It's going to do it for us, for me, and for Dills. We'll see you next time. Bye, Dills.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.